Hi everyone. My name is Patrice Robayo. I'm a producer with WJFF Radio Catskill. And today I'm joined with journalist Leah Mayo for The Review Reporter, Isabel Braven with the Sullivan County Democrat, and Chris Rowley with the Shawangunk Journal and News Atomic. And they'll be joining us for another round of the Reporters Roundtable. And today we'll be discussing cannabis sales and use. New York recently became the 15th state to legalize marijuana for the recreational use. The plant has been legal for medical use for many years in New York, but no medical dispensaries currently exist now in Sullivan County. Marijuana, as of April 2021, is legal for personal recreational use for adults over 21, anywhere tobacco use is allowed. But soon the sale of marijuana will be permitted. Currently, the state is still putting together the regulations for commercial sale and on-site consumption business. However, some of the towns in Sullivan County would not be participating. They have up to December 31st to decide whether to opt out of cannabis company opening their doors within town. And Isabel, Kristen, and Liam have been reporting on this issue. So we're going to go to round table and see what have they discovered in their reporting. Isabel, in your reporting, what have you seen as far as cannabis use in the towns? Are they for it or against it, or what has been the chatter so far?
So I cover specifically the town of Delaware and the town of Tustin. Those are, my two beats. And so far, town of Delaware has indicated that they were all in favor of it. I believe you don't have to vote yes. It's really you just vote no if the town board decides no. So the town board of Delaware, agreed to allow it. The town of Tustin has so far not discussed it. I think it's still in the early stages here, so they will probably be talking about that soon.
And how about you, Liam? Has that topic come up in any of your town board meetings that you cover?
Yeah, so far it's come up at, well, two and a half. It was mentioned at Coshecton's town board meeting, but only as something that will be discussed once more information is gathered. Lumberland has officially opted out of the law at a July meeting. It was very brief discussion. The board essentially just said, we don't want this kind of business in our town, and they've opted out. And Calicoon met, the town board met with Sheriff Schiff to discuss the potential pros and cons of legalization and opting in versus opting out. And they didn't decide anything. They're sort of waiting to have more discussion on it, but they are approaching the matter with a lot of caution and sort of a wait and see attitude.
And when you say caution, what has been the reasons for the question? Did they give any kind of indication? What was the sort of the hesitation they had?
Yeah, the greatest hesitation I've seen so far is just around safety, specifically driving safety. It's a rural area. If you have a dispensary or a smoking lounge, and there's any kind of consumption on site, then odds are whoever consumed on site is going to need to drive home and driving while impaired. The studies are still kind of being done on how badly that damages your ability to drive, but there is at least a risk associated with that. And there isn't a really good way of testing drivers while they're on the road to see whether they're under the influence to a level that gets them impaired in their driving capabilities. So there's just a lot of potential risk involved there.
No, definitely. That's sort of the concerns I've been hearing also from the town supervisors. And to comment on that, what you said there, Liam, actually in the bill, I'm sure that you know, there is a provision in there that says they're going to start looking into creating studies that will look into technologies that will be able to test for someone seeing someone being if someone is impaired under using marijuana. But of course, that's just a study, and like I said, as of right now, there's no direct test that someone could test like they test for alcohol, like with breathalyzer tests or things like that. Chris, how about you? What have you seen in your reporting as far as the recreational marijuana goes?
Pretty much as Liam was saying there, just a taste here and there, town of Worthing, we'll be looking at this a bit later. I don't detect any major impetus in either direction. If anything, I think they may just leave it alone, because if they just leave it alone, then they don't have to do anything, and it will just be a legal use. And somebody wants to start a business, they might have to come to the planning board, but that would be it if they wanted to build something. Other than that, they might just be able to just set up and do it. Village of Ellenville, similar to that, there's not really been discussion of this. And again, I wonder if they may just avoid talking about it, because if they don't talk about it, then hey, it just can happen. What we've heard, though, is that town of Mamikating in Sullivan is driving against it and will ban it in terms of a business. And that seems to be the urging of the town supervisor. And over in town of Crawford in Orange, which we also cover, there is a discussion going on. There was an early push against it, and then people came out to push back. And right now I think they're sort of having a thought about where this sits politically for the town board and what they could do. But, you know, again, I always go back to a couple of issues here with the driving. Well, we all have bars and restaurants. I mean, you know, the concern, I would think, would be, you know, if you're going to sort of not going to allow people to consume cannabis, then you probably can't allow people to consume alcohol. And the other question is, why do we sell tobacco? Why is that allowed? You know, I mean, there's a number of interesting areas here, psychology and propaganda over decades, and the actual science doesn't seem to indicate anything dramatic occurring in terms of traffic accidents in California, Oregon or Colorado. So I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, right. But that's what that's what we're seeing.
Right. To comment on that, actually, I actually was speaking today to the Democrat reporter, Samantha Matanga, about who covers the town of Mamikating. And you're right. They're doing something a little different. They voted already to not to have on-site consumption businesses. But I have on record the supervisor saying that she's all for dispensaries of like going to a store and buying something, but just not on-site consumption. She's not in favor. It doesn't seem like the board is in favor for it. And it seems like the vote will go down to a referendum that's going to happen in the general election. I guess they're going to leave it up to the town to decide whether they want in their town. And also, you're talking about the like I said, the testing and the what about alcohol? And I totally see that point, definitely, because even now where the county is promoting, will soon be promoting, not the county, but like the Visitor Association and the chambers, they are promoting now craft beer trails and wine trails through the county. And will it be a couple of years from now, will there be a marijuana trail? Do you guys think that would be possible now that, you know, we are having alcohol trails now? Will we have a marijuana trail? Will there be dispensaries?
Oh, my Lord.
I think
there's a difference in how you use it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I mean, how do you taste, sip and taste, three or four different kinds of cannabis, you know? I mean, you could only do it sort of one per 8-hour shift or one per day. I'm not sure I could see that, but there you go.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean, but they are, like, in places like Amsterdam, they are bars that where you go sit down, have a cup of coffee, have a cup of tea, and smoke a joint. Like I said, I agree with you. I don't think you could sit down and have four different flavors like a wine tasting. But maybe you could have one joint here and one joint there, or just one, two places and then call it a day. So it definitely will be mm-hmm. different from our regular wine trail like they have in Long Island.
Yeah, or here. We have the Shangun Wine Trail, which is quite a thing, actually. Yeah.
Right, right. So let me ask you, Chris, do you see that in the future as happening, like a marijuana or a cannabis trail happening in the county?
I don't know. I think it's going to be tricky because cannabis is going to be grown indoors for most consumption, as far as I understand. It's going to be in major businesses, large operations. It won't have the same kind of ease of entry that you have in the wine and in the microbrews. So I'm not sure. What I do think is a lot of people will be surprised when they do see a cannabis shop that sells it to the public, because from what I've seen, they're all extremely brightly lit. They look like a cross between a high-end pharmacy and some kind of restaurant, and not at all like the funky head shops of yesteryear. So I think there's a misperception of what they will look like.
No, definitely. And currently, right now in Mamikating, there's a CBD shop, and basically just, I guess you'll see the precursor of what a dispensary could look like, and but basically it looks like hark back something to like the 50s candy shop, with the counter there and all the displays and information on what each strain has, and of course they're selling CBD oil and CBD flower there, so it's a little different, but you can see how things could work out in the future. Isabel, you had a series in the Democrat, and you were exploring this issue of cannabis when it became legal, and you had a couple of articles on cannabis in farming. Can you talk about that and sort of the impact that cannabis will have in farming?
Sure. So part of the series was focused more on hemp. Both hemp farming for CBD purposes, as well as industrial hemp. So using the hemp plant to make a variety of products like paper, rope, building materials. So I don't want to, you know, it's a little bit off topic from the cannabis. However, from speaking with a few people in the county, obviously farming is our big industry here in Sullivan County. Agriculture is, you know, what we've been doing for a long time. We have lots of open space, lots of fields. So from speaking to people, I think that it potentially could be the next big industry here, you know, growing hemp or cannabis, either one. There's a lot of dairy farms that have been struggling recently, and you know, maybe this is a new venture that they could try out. I think with many things it remains to be seen, but there is some people looking into it.
Right. This one thing, I mean, one thing I've noticed in my reporting or my discussions is everyone looks at, you know, sort of the dangers of it, and rightly so. You know, there is concern of impaired driving with cannabis use, just like there is in alcohol use, and it should be a responsible use of the product. And everyone talks about the revenue, which is also very important, because the state needs revenue, especially after this pandemic. But one of the things that the law was passed, the reasons why it was passed, was to sort of change the injustice that's currently going on between people of color, Black and Hispanic people, again, and compared to white people. I was looking at a study that was done in 2018 by the New York Times, that found in New York City that the rate of Hispanic people and Black people who were arrested on charges for marijuana was greatly compared to those of white people. In your reporting, has that ever come up in topics as far as discussion? They even bring it up like, hey, you know, the reason why we're doing this is X, Y, and Z, or is it just seems like, hey, this is just something that the Democrats are pushing down our throats? But what have you guys seen?
Oh, I haven't seen anything specific or anyone specifically talking about the racial inequalities inherent in how drugs are regulated and just the issues with that. But in a sense, the fact that no one's really talking about that and that no one is bringing that up as an issue sort of suggests a way, or there's a certain prejudice in the way people are considering marijuana and cannabis. And even if that isn't inherently tied into the broader prejudices that have been used in like the war on drugs and broader programs to discriminate against certain groups of people, the fact that that isn't being recognized at the local level is itself interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not necessarily a part of the conversation as of now, but it should be. It should, that element of it should be recognized in the decisions towns are making.
No, definitely agree. I said it is curious that has been brought up as of yet. Like I said, this is still new, and down the road when everything is finalized, I'm sure topics like that and issues like that will be brought up. Chris, has anyone discussed the revenue that this potentially could have to Ulster County or Ellenville?
Yes, that is an aspect that has been mentioned now and then. In passing, we haven't seen any kind of real debate about it, but I do think there is an awareness that you could miss the boat, that it could be, you know, you say, you like, I imagine it was alcohol involved here, right? And you say, oh, no, we're not going to allow any beer, whiskey, wine to be sold in our township. Well, everyone's going to go somewhere else, aren't they? And they're going to spend their money somewhere else. So there is the concern that if you get too worried or concerned about cannabis sales, that will happen, and the money will be made somewhere else. So, you know, that is a slight concern. But again, it's early. I'm not hearing an awful lot about this issue. There are many other things that people are talking about. And the way the law is written, requiring opting out rather than opting in, kind of gives, I think, municipalities an easier road. They don't have to do anything. They can just let it go. And if it turns out to be a problem, then they can do something. So, you know, you can see, you know, town supervisors and board members going, why would we want to give ourselves a problem? So why don't we just let it happen and see what happens? And if it turns out to be difficult for some reason, well, then we'll step in. So that might be what we'll see in some places.
Right. It's funny you say that. I have a quote from Town of Liberty. It was not a direct quote. I'll paraphrase. Town of Liberty Supervisor Frank DeMeo was telling me that this is a state issue, and he didn't feel right putting this burden on the town and having the town resources have to deal with this. And he said, it's a state issue. Let the state handle it. And that's what sort of where he stands. Liam, I remember hearing earlier this last week or the week before, you were talking to on the local edition, you're talking to Jason about the marijuana laws, that there's a difference between opting out and opting in, as far as that if towns want to opt out, they can, and later on opt in. But if they opt out, they can't opt back in. Did I have it wrong, or?
Yeah, that's been discussed in a couple of towns with kind of the opposite opinion around the opinion cost or around the opportunity costs than you've been hearing, Chris. Like Calicoon, a lot of the discussion was, well, we can choose to opt out now, and then later on we can opt in if a dispensary comes to us saying, hey, we want to do something in your town. But if you don't choose to opt out by the December 31st deadline, that's essentially it. You have decided in perpetuity that this is okay for your town, and you can't opt back in afterwards. Mm-hmm. So there was a couple of people at the Calicoon meeting talked about how they don't really like being number one. They really like being number two. They like being the second person to the party where They get to see what everyone else in the country is doing and learn from those mistakes and learn from the way it happens in other counties and other municipalities and decide from there whether they want to handle it at all or how they want to handle it. And choosing to opt out now gives them kind of the freedom later on to opt back in if that becomes a possibility for their town, or to continue opting out if that is something they still don't want to do.
Right, right. So it's just very interesting. And like I said, there is a sort of a wait and see type of deal as far as like, do we see the bigger towns that are may do it and see how they go and or other counties doing it. Like I spoke to Town Supervisor Dan Hogue Jr. of the town of Forestburg, and he's neutral on the subject. He's neither for it or against it. But he did say that for his town, Forestburg, he thinks it's not a right fit. It's Forestburg, is, in his words, is a small community store that focuses on community. On a large scale, I'm in favor of it for more retail setting like neighboring Thompson, but I don't think it's economically feasible for a small town like Forestburg. So that something I do see also is that like I said, they're not sort of against it, and they do realize the benefits for it, but it just might not be for them right now. And he said, who knows, like when these shops are open up and people see their misconceptions have been proven wrong and seeing that these dispensaries are not these sort of drug dens, maybe people think that they are or going to be. But as far as the Isabel, you said you don't want to bring in this topic as far as hemp and marijuana. Are you saying those two things are sort of separate in this conversation?
Mm-hmm. No, I was just saying for if we wanted to only focus on the marijuana, but I could definitely talk more about the hemp.
Yeah, to me it is related because obviously it's the same plant. It's just you know different versions of it. But it is sort of part of the same industry. If you maybe want to expand on your reporting as far as like how the farming community could be, I know you brushed on a little bit, but if you go more in depth into your hemp articles.
Sure. Actually the county, Sullivan County, is sort of exploring the industrialized hemp industry. Heather Brown, the county sustainability coordinator, has done a lot of research on it and really looked into it. And she presented to the county legislature recently, talking about all the uses of hemp. Like I mentioned earlier, you can make a lot of things out of it. I think she said there's like around 200 products you can make using hemp. And actually, the common idea that the Declaration of Independence was written on hemp paper is actually not true. That's just a fun fact. But you can make paper from it. And so, yeah, she spoke about sort of the benefits that this could bring to the county as an economic driver, something that could bring a new industry here. I believe there's only one or two hemp farms in the county currently. Actually, I think it is two. There's one in town of Lumberland and one in Long Eddy. So there's definitely room for growth there. You can also have some processing facilities here and maybe, distribution points here. So the county is currently taking a look at that. Nothing has been really finalized yet. They're just sort of hearing from different people about the hemp industry.
Right. And speaking about things not being finalized, that's something I came away with from my reporting was I feel like I have more questions than answers as far as what exactly is going to happen with marijuana. Because it's not only about the recreational stuff. I mentioned earlier in my intro that medical marijuana is around, has been around since, I believe, 2014. As currently right now, there's no dispensaries in Sullivan County, but there is right around across the border in Orange County. where you could buy, if you're a medical marijuana patient, you could buy medical marijuana products, which right now they're available in vape form, flower form, and edibles. But in Sullivan County, you can get it delivered to your house if you're a medical marijuana patient. So that has program has been going on for a while. So maybe I'm curious to see the studies done of that now, you know, since medical marijuana has been available for a while already, the studies in New York, the impact in New York. Does anybody know what's going to happen as far as sales goes, as far as like, let's say, for lack of a better word, a person who was selling drugs illegally, can they, I guess, now go legit? Is that even possible? Does anybody know?
Not easily, and there's a lot of gray area there, as far as I can tell. They're going to need to have a full business plan, have capital, be able to set up a business in a very normal, responsible fashion, and not very many people who sell at least cannabis illegally are set up in that kind of a way. It's just never been like that, at least here. So we'll have to see. My sense of it, at least for Ulster County, is that there's going to be one or two major production facilities, that they will be indoor kind of facilities with large steel buildings, lots of security and everything. And then, remember, we will also be allowed to grow our six plants. And many people who are, have any, any green to their thumbs at all will be able to grow this, because it's called weed for a good reason.
Right.
It grows. And if you talk to people, old timers, whatever, who grew, especially sativas, remember, there's the two different sort of broad kinds, the sativas and then the ganjas, the sativas have a habit of growing up to a certain size, like a bush, and then just shooting up to 10 feet tall. And people have memories of being caught because they came back and they found that their humble little plants had turned into giants and were very visible even from the road. So those sort of issues will be going, but we'll be able to grow our own plants, and then the commercial product will be something that will be grown in large facilities. Just turning to hemp quickly, I have spoken to farmers about hemp and also about producing CBD cannabis, and some of their issues are transportation costs to move it to somewhere where it's going to be milled, because growing it's one thing, but where is it going to be turned into? Paper, rope, or all those other products? And where is it going to be milled to produce CBD oil? And if it's too far away, then it doesn't reward the farmer to grow it in the first place. So these are also other issues that are going to be considered. I think it's going to be quite a complicated thing. But, in about 3 years, 2-3 years, we'll all be growing it if we want. And the society will change a little bit. It's going to shift things in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. I said in 3 years, I'm curious to see how things will change, progress. What seems taboo now could be, second nature 3 years down the road from now. This will not be seen as something taboo, or like I said, or something dangerous. Any kind of products could be misused and abused, which is that's another concern that I think Liam brought up also about having another. I spoke to another supervisor also shared that sentiment, that why do we need another vice in this time and age now? We have opioids, we have alcohol and all these things. But I hear at the same time that just because someone abuses it or a number of people abuse it doesn't mean they should be outlawed. Just like gambling. Gambling is we know that can ruin people's lives. You go to any casino and any slot machine, if you look down right before you put your number there, it has a sign there. If you have a problem with gambling, call this number. And every cigarette that you buy has a warning label. So I can see, you know, the future of cannabis is going down that road as far as regulation goes, which is for the better, because if you know things are regulated, you know you're getting something quality, and those dangers of not knowing what you're getting if you're buying from the street or something illegal.
Absolutely. Right. And just quickly, just to speak to that whole thing, you know, but forever and ever, cannabis or marijuana was always being dismissed because it was supposed to be the gateway drug to heroin. And there was the concern was everyone would become heroin addicts. Well, you know, now we've seen the gateway drug to heroin turned out to be, you know, various kinds of codons, you know, right. Painkillers, you know, and I always thought that was really nonsense, because tobacco is the actual gateway drug. I never knew anybody who turned to heroin who wasn't a tobacco smoker. And that seems to be really the truth. You know, heroin and fentanyl are another issue. The people who are using those things want something that's going to produce oblivion. They want a really strong substance. I'm not sure that cannabis will ever be in that kind of category. And, you know, the other side of that is, of course, cannabis doesn't seem to kill people. Whereas, of course, fentanyl, as we know, is killing people, you know, every day. So I think these are different, really different things, different concepts. And everyone's going to have to get slightly more sophisticated in the way they think about these things. And they also have to remember that in our towns, right in the center, in our convenience stores, we're selling tobacco. We're selling cigarettes. And you've got to know that the tobacco companies spend a fortune on the tiny artwork in their displays behind the counters, right? That stuff is crafted to appeal to who? Young people. Because if they don't start smoking before they're 20, they probably won't. So they have to get people young. So they are designing all that stuff so it attracts the eye of basically children. And that is legal. You know, it's there's so many things that wind through this particular little nexus. It's a complicated story.
No, definitely. There have been documentaries. There's been reports of just that thing, that how the signage and promotion of the tobacco products in not only if geared to children, but also in communities of people who are minorities in Black and Hispanic communities, how prevalent tobacco advertisement are in those communities compared to other communities. Chris, you mentioned something else. Was tobacco use some other topics that you were they brought up?
Oh, well, yeah, well, you know, the conflation of, because there are some people who don't drink.
Right.
And they haven't smoked, and they don't do any drugs, you know, maybe coffee, you know, and they have a view of the whole world of intoxication as being sort of in some way kind of dark and bad. Well, okay, maybe, but most people, a majority of people like a drink now and then. A tiny minority, 5% of people who consume alcohol actually buy an awful lot of it. I mean, I think the figure that's thrown around, I'm not sure if it's accurate, but is that as much as half of the alcohol bought and consumed is bought and consumed by between 5 and 10% of drinkers. And that shows you something, you know, which is that most people are just casual, that when they have a glass of Chardonnay when they go out, or a couple of beers, you know, and if they buy a six pack, it lasts a week or 2 weeks in the fridge. And then there are other people who are going to drink 2 6-packs a day, every day, and will have, you know, spirits, and they'll go through a bottle of whiskey in a day or in 3 days. And those are like different worlds, and they don't really see each other. With cannabis, you are going to have people who consume a lot of it. But most people, I think, are going to be kind of like, yeah, at the end of the day, smoke a joint, maybe once a week, get high, maybe once every 2 or 3 days, maybe less than that, maybe once a month. You know, I mean, it's going to work its way out, and we'll see how it is when it's not an illegal drug and when it's not being found by people who want it for stronger reasons than the usual kind of casual use. We don't really know what casual use of cannabis will be like.
Right. Definitely. It's like we cannot forget also the benefits of marijuana, because there is medical marijuana, and is the reason why these medical patients do take it to deal with PTSD, deal with anxiety, with pains, and doesn't necessarily mean things have to be psychoactive. Like you mentioned, Chris, like CBD and other types of things. Before we leave, anything else you guys that we haven't covered that you want to guys mention about the cannabis issue? I know this is going to be an ongoing issue, and we'll probably bring it up later in the year. But if, before we leave, any last words or thoughts?
Yeah, I think like you said earlier that there are still a lot of questions. And I know that the state has set up an office of, I think it's called Office of Cannabis. I can't remember. But they set up an office and they're forming a committee. And so I think that we will definitely continue to report on it as more information comes out. I think everyone is still sort of waiting to hear from the state.
Right, definitely. It's like I said, it's an ongoing issue.
Yeah, I just sort of throw a strange one in here, because something we should think about, because I have noticed, and you probably have seen it too, there are people brewing cannabis beers.
Does it have these like psychoactive properties, or is just like flavored?
Yes.
Okay, it does. Okay.
No, I think it's like psychoactive. So I think the alcohol is really dialed down. These are like low alcohol beers,
right?
But they have a psychoactive cannabis THC component. Now there, you've got a product that sits squarely between two stools, right? Is it going to be legal to sell that in a bar?
Right. That's true.
You know? I mean, so would bars now begin to drift towards becoming cannabis cafes? You know, it's like, whoa, you know, but we don't think twice about a restaurant that sells a whole host of alcohols and also sells coffee and tea.
Right.
Well, again, all these issues to be worked out.
Yeah, definitely. It'd be interesting to see if they would allow alcohol places to sell cannabis at the same time. You know, the regulations there is for alcohol as far as the departments goes. So be curious to see if they just throw in there like a bar somewhere, just also add on cannabis. But maybe they said maybe it's, that could be a mixture of bad stuff. You mean mixing those two things together at the same time. So maybe not. Liam, any last words you have on this subject?
Yeah, I would just echo what Chris said about how cannabis use and the opioid epidemic and the substance abuse disorders for more serious drugs are definitely very different topics. And that I'd add that Sullivan County is just now partnering with an organization that originally started in Michigan, Hope Not Handcuffs, to take another crack at helping people with substance abuse disorders. Under that program, anyone with a substance abuse disorder or just difficulty struggling with substances can walk into a police station, and instead of facing arrest, they can be connected with Hope Not Handcuffs, and that program can get them the treatment they need for what is really more of a medical issue than a personal choice issue. So I think there's a broader recognition that's starting to happen that substance misuse is a very serious thing that is separate from just very casual use. And hopefully that sort of lack of prejudice around drugs and lack of stigma around drugs starts happening with cannabis too.
Right. No, definitely. I think that those are good points to to end on. I do really appreciate your insight. We appreciate everyone's insight into this issue that we're looking into. And joining me for another episode of the Reporters Roundtable. So I want to thank Isabel Braverman for the Self-Kind Democrat, Liam Mayo for the River Reporter, and Chris Riley from the Shawanagung Journal. Just a quick shout out to Isabel Braverman. Thank you so much for being part of this and part of Radio Catskill and your many reporting. Just quick note that Isabel will be leaving the Sullivan County Democrat newspaper and going on to other endeavors. So congratulate her. But just want to say thank you so much for being part of the roundtable in the past episodes and your contributions to Radio Catskill as a reporter. I do really appreciate it. So
thank you.
You got it. Again, everyone, thank you so much for joining us and another episode of the Reporters Roundtable on Radio Catskill. My name is Patricia Rubio, and everyone have a good night and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.